The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio, waiting to take your calls on your health. Anything you'd like to talk about, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. You know, you've had a problem, you've done all kinds of things, hasn't worked, you've applied the process, and you've come up with not so much, right? Well, here's your opportunity. Let's talk about it. Again, 888-630-9625. Have an interesting topic, and I have beyond a very interesting co-host today, Dr. Scott Lamp. Welcome, Scott.
Good afternoon, Tom.
So, I got a question for you before we reveal the topic. Mm-hmm. So if I said to you, what do all these things have in common? And I said, allergy reactions, arthritis, behavior problems, cancer, tumors, degenerative anything, organ diseases, depression, diabetes, immune disruption, migraines, mental illness, obesity, and tooth decay.
Okay. I would say inflammation with an underlying part.
And the underlying part is
sugar addiction.
And that is the topic of your program.
There you go.
This Wednesday evening, the 6th, 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing, Dr. Scott Lamp will be presenting a night on sugar addiction. You did it about a year ago, too, and I think you call it public enemy number one.
And it still is. And I think because it affects so many different things in our lives. You think about all the things that takes us out in our life that causes major, major problems, increases our healthcare costs and things of that nature. Heart disease, diabetes, huge amounts for our healthcare dollar. And what's behind it, again, is going to be sugar basis. And I think even things like, you know, when we talk about sugar, there's three ways you can get it in your body. And you can consume it, which is a big part of this problem. You can stress it, and you can medicate it. And that's how we run into these problems.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. You know, people don't understand the preponderance of sugars and how much we actually eat. And you know, we've started out a lot of our in-house presentations and talk about it and touch upon the sugar pattern. But the truth of it is that today, the ranges, depends on the author that you're looking at, range somewhere between just over 150 pounds per person per year up to about 170 pounds per person
right,
per year.
Right.
And, you know, back in the day, and you go back and say, okay, early 1800s.
Right.
And people only ate about 5 to 6 to 7 pounds of sugar per person per year.
Yeah.
It's like craziness. What happened?
But if I can get you to eat something, at least on the profitability part of making you have, even like apples now, the sugar contents in apples have been changed and regrown and experimented on to get the most sweetest apples. So if I'm a farmer and I'm sitting in front of you and I've got 15 different types of apples, the one that's going to sell the most is going to be the sweetest one.
You know, if you said to people, you know, listen, how many of these things do you eat? Do you talk about barbecue sauces? Everybody around the Washington area likes barbecue, right? So
they're running off
to barbecue. And then canned fruits and cookies and crackers and breads and hot dogs and marinades and peanuts and peanut butter and pickles and vegetables and soups and so forth. They're all loaded with sugar.
Right.
It's like craziness.
And that's why we're addicted. That's why it's public enemy number one.
Indeed. But, you know, sugar is not only an addictive situation. It's not only it's a drug and it's a poison.
Yeah, it's a drug and a poison. The thing is we do need some. We need to have some sugar to run the fuel. But unfortunately, we are overdoing it. And that's where I think the real big problems that we have is everything is in excess. We always talk about, when we talk about a lot of major programs and problems in this program that we have, is it's always talking about balance. How much is just a little bit, and how much it is to get your body running, and then how much is overdoing it. And then, you know, we're going to start talking about the symptoms we have and the fatigues we have and the can't sleep correctly problems, and I don't eat breakfast, and the excessive meals I'm having, and all these things that we do lend to this thing of looking at where do we have a balance and how can we control our eating.
You know, there was an article that I read the other day, and it was talking about the projection of diabetes of all forms.
Mm-hmm.
They went out to the year 2030, which is basically 11 years
ago.
Yeah. And they're talking about in excess of 45% of the population is going to be diabetic.
I was looking at 50%. I'm actually looking at a press release. This is a July 18th from CDC. This is more than 100 million U.S. adults are now living with diabetes or pre-diabetics. That's one-third of our country. And this is the report finds that 2015, 30.3 million Americans were at that. Now we're at 100.
It's
getting ridiculous.
You know, we see kids, all you have to do is walk around the schools, or not even that. We don't see kids in the playground anymore. They're not out running the stuff off. But the bottom line is people are getting big, and it's because they're consuming so much sugar. The problem is sugar is not only inflammatory, as you said earlier in the beginning of the program, but it triggers degenerative changes throughout the body, and we see organ system begin to crush. You know, I don't know if you ever read the book. There was a book that was simply called Nutrition by a medical physician by the name of Thomas Ballantyne.
Okay.
And in the middle of the book, there's all kinds of pictures, and it compared people from their original homelands where they ate naturally, mm-hmm. and their sugars were basically fresh fruit, unadulterated, a little bit of honey, and they ate a lot of vegetables and proteins and so forth. And then they came to Western society, and so they had a twin, for example, that stayed in their homeland, and mm-hmm. one that came to the West, or they had a brother that stayed in the homeland, and the sister came to the West. And the stark differentiation, because the amount of sugar and refined products that convert into sugar from those who stayed where they originally were born to those who came here is unbelievable, where you've seen dental arches being distorted. You're seeing facial configurations being caved. Mm-hmm. You're seeing skin discoloration and so forth. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Third world countries seem to have better teeth sometimes than we do that have not been touched. You're talking about the people, all the artistic work that's doing in dentistry nowadays in regards to that. Weston Price, I mean, he was another guy who was looking at a lot of those type of things. And not only does it change, you know, adding things, but like you said, physical deformity is actually happening with some of these things when you take a look at some what happens with that. So it's an interesting thing because we, like, as an addiction, you feel like you have a need, then you take whatever more sugar and you feel better for the moment, and then it comes back again. I think another thing to talk about, I think Western Price was mentioning about this, is that within 15 years after an industrialized or a country that is third world becomes industrialized, heart disease and diabetes becomes rampant. And because of all the foods have been tampered with, they've been processed with, and so we lose some of the basic nutrition that we're supposed to have there to process some of these things, and then we also overindulge the things that seem to be like we create cravings instead of sometimes in the food market to make it, you know, have you more food?
Well, patient comes
more my item.
Patient comes into you and says, but Dr. Lamp, I don't eat sugar. You know, I do stevia and I do, you know.
You're still feeding that sugar crave, even though they're trying to do a food additive of some sort that they're trying to make it work.
And half of these things are poison.
Right. And that's an interesting thing when we talk about food additives is like, you know, how often do you see a thin person is drinking Diet Coke? It's kind of funny because what happens is that there's some stimuluses into the brain there that tells you the food is coming, and it never shows that it doesn't do anything for your hunger. It keeps you at zero calories.
No, it says it's sugar.
It's sugar.
It tastes like sugar.
And it says, but no, what it's saying is it's like sugar's not here yet. So my hunger craving is still there. And so it never ends. So now you're craving something else. So you might take the Diet Coke, but then you're like, I got to do something to deal with this because I can't quench this. I got to go eat something.
Well, the thing it is, too, that with that stimulus, you're also going to deplete the body of several things that have to be used to metabolize sugar, which is your vitamin B complexes, your chromium, your zinc.
B1s, chromium, zincs, magnesiums, and things of that nature, right.
And it gets depleted, even though it's not a natural sugar. So subsequently, you've got other pathways that are being upset, destroyed, broken down, and so forth. My guest in studio, Dr. Scott Lamp, your host, your presenter at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax. This Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., the 6th of the month, and he's going to be talking about sugar addiction and all those things that happen to you. Remember, this truly is a problem that is monumental, growing in exponential numbers across any kind of industrialized civilization. The United States just happens to have the tag on it because we're worse than anybody else. But Dr. Scott, so let's talk about, you know, I want to get into a couple different areas without really getting you into the heart of your conversation this Wednesday mm-hmm. evening. But let's talk about sugar and pain. You have patients that come in. You and I see them from all different types of platforms, and they're hurting. Mm-hmm. And we take a look at everybody's diet. That's one of the things that we do with every patient right. that walks in. We do a dietary survey approximately of a week, and we tell them, you know, listen, if you're going to change it because I'm holding you responsible, let me know what it is that you're doing. And when you look at these patients that are in a lot of pain, the majority of them are on tons of sugar and eating a lot of sugar or right. refined carbohydrates or things like that. Is that consistent with, you know, with everything that you're talking about?
Yeah, because, again, when we put too much sugar in the system, we cause inflammatory reactions. So inflammation is going to make anything else going to be irritated. And so physical ailments will actually show with that. When we have things, when sugar gets raised up in the bloodstream and it gets too thick, we don't get circulation. You need to get certain things that are anti-inflammatory to get to those points. And what's kind of interesting, a lot of times when we look at things that are like omega-3 based, that have like essential fatty acids, they actually kind of look like blood thinners. They cut through to get the feeding and take away some of the inflammatory elements. But when you have sugars and things like that, they have a tendency to make things a little bit thicker. Of course, one of the bad side effects of diabetes, when you don't get circulation to the extremities, don't affect the nerve system, the nerves themselves, and they start to starve and they start to break down, and arteries start breaking down. This is not a good pathway for somebody to be with arthritic conditions, and not a good pathway for people who are, as they're getting older and they're trying to find the fountain of youth. It's going to go in the other direction.
You know, it's interesting. I tell patients all the time, particularly this time of the year, that you're going to get sicker this time of the year than you do virtually any other time. And the reason for it is we're coming out of it a little bit now, mm-hmm. but starting the holidays from about Halloween all the way through, to, you know, we eat more than we ever thought we possibly. But here's the situation, and I'm kind.
Yeah.
I tell them, you know, that one teaspoon of sugar decreases your white blood cell ability to function 8% up to 12 hours, an immediate reaction. Well, the truth of it is, there's authors that will tell you that up to 40 to 50% suppression in the white blood cells' ability to attack bacteria, and so subsequently, and viruses, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And so subsequently, you get sick.
What's interesting is that glucose is very similar to the shape or look of what vitamin C is. But one does something totally different with the white blood cell. Like the sugar actually turns the white blood cell off. Vitamin C helps turn it on. And it's kind of an interesting thing to see. So a lot of times when we're doing these things and, you know, we're eating these foods, and again, I always like it's Christmas. I got this from my daughter. I got to eat it because I feel bad if I don't. I mean, there's always an excuse, and I think that's one of the things that's a problem with addiction.
Well, because growing up, everybody was given a cookie or a piece of candy
as a treat.
And I'm supposed
to take that reward.
When you were good, right?
Yeah.
When you were being very good, mom gave you that.
And I deserved that reward. I'm supposed to have it. But
that's
there's right. It seems like every month there's it's a birthday, it's Mother's Day, it's Valentine's Day, it's going to be, let's go out and get some beers over for, you know, St. Patty's Day. It's all these things that we can never seem to get away from. And it just seems like there's more and more necessity to have these or give you reasons for. And that's the problem with addiction.
It's crazy. It's an amazing situation that, you know, we have, that we're surrounded ourselves with. The addictive pattern when it comes to sugar is crazy. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk specifically okay. how to affect the brain.
Maybe you're having enough sugar.
Be nice. Yes. My guest in studio, your host this Wednesday evening, the 6th, Dr. Scott Lampe, is going to be talking about sugar addiction or Public Enemy number one.
Yeah.
Be there with us. We'll tell you how to register in a minute. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rousseau. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rousseau live. Indeed, I'm in studio. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you and see if we can put you in the direction to get your health better and, you know, walk you through a path that may not be the one that you're on right now, that might actually work. This is your opportunity. 888-630-9625. My guest in studio, Dr. Scott Lamp, who will be your host, your presenter, at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax this Wednesday, the 6th of March at 7 p.m. And he's going to be talking about sugar addiction. And remember, we said that, you know, we did a program like this about a year ago or so, and it was public enemy number one, as Dr. Scott says, it still lives. The problem is that we are addicted, and it can affect everything. Dr. Scott, I'm going to get into this. And by the way, I said that I will tell everybody how to register. All you have to do is go to RoselleCare.com. That's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E, RoselleCare.com. Go about halfway down, and you'll see the ad for the presentation. It's really straightforward, and all you got to do is hit the button, register. Remember that these are our gift to you. There is no cost, and we are doing them because you deserve them. You need to know. You need to have the information. Just like my book, you know, Asia's Health, Health is a Do-It-Yourself Program. You're in control. That's why we do these things. So March the 6th, click, register here, go through it, get it done, and then we will contact you to make sure that we confirm a seat for you. Dr. Scott, let's talk a little bit about the way that sugar affects brain function, the addictive patterns. Why is it so addictive? Why does it cause so much mental disturbance? What's that pathway all about? It has, and authors will tell you, it has the same receptors, if you will, as heroin and cocaine.
Well, I think the body needs to have, I mean, you need to have an energy source to keep yourself going and moving and stuff like that. It's all really trying to keep that, this maintaining this balance of blood sugar in your bloodstream. And then you've got things like major hormones like insulin that plays a part. And the insulin comes in the system and pushes that into the cell. But with almost like with all hormones, if you have too much pushing in, too much rushing in, the body is going to resist that. But then all of a sudden, if the body resists that, not putting the sugar into the insulin, raising up, resisting going into the cell, the body still wants to have that. But it can be very destructive and break things down considerably. So the body has this buffer system of doing this resistance. And the thing is, but if you put too much in and the body wants it, there's this constant craving ability that happens with it. And one of the things that gets destroyed on it is also looking at arterial walls have a big problem if they get exposed to too much sugar for a period of time. And especially you're talking about arterial walls in the brain, there's circulation there. Then what happens is things start to degrade and break down.
You know, sugar, for many people, they'll tell you it calms them.
Right.
It gets them to relax. It gets them, and the reason for that is because it stimulates the release of dopamine in the brain.
Oh, that too. Yeah.
And you know, dopamine is that necessary piece. Otherwise, we're jacked up all the time. The problem is that because it does that and stimulates it artificially, the body does get used to craving more and more dopamine reactions.
Right.
And it needs to have it at a higher, higher level, just like any other drug, whether it's an opioid, you know, or whether it's, you know, straight up heroin. You got to have more to do the same thing over a period of time. And there's a lot of different pieces that are that way. And I know this Wednesday evening we're going to get into that quite a bit. Dr. Scott, let's talk about that, you know, that reaction that it has. We talked a little bit about immunological suppression just before we broke. And so here's the thing. Sugar does decrease immune response and setting the stage for all types of things, including cancers degenerative changes and colds and flus and autoimmune reactions and so forth. What's going on there?
Well, I think we were talking about before, if I have something that I raise a sugar level on, like we talked about where the sugar actually will actually integrate with the white blood cell and then turn it down, then you've got a problem with regards to the white cell. The white blood cell is your army. That's your military to kind of fight off things. So if it doesn't control that, then it can go a little bit more rapid. So the tendency to having a virus or a bacteria or maybe a yeast type problem might be increased. So I think that's what you're taking a look at. You should let yourself more vulnerable to that. On top of that, inflammation is increased. And anytime you have inflammation is just a blocker. It just kind of blocks communication. It blocks oxygen. It blocks nutrients getting to certain places. So you got those that sometimes help and they kind of attach to the cell wall itself. That's just things don't communicate well. So now you're talking about a fine run machine that's not fine running machine anymore. It's actually breaking down. And so that's what happens. So the body's constantly compensating to make up for these things, and it's going to put energy to where it can, and so other places are going to suffer from it.
You know, we were talking about how sugar is one of the most addictive food sources out there, and because of a lot of things that we're talking about right now, and you know, we made mention of the fact that it's probably even more potentially addictive than an opioid. Right. And there's some authors will tell you that it's far more. And, you know, last week I did a program in Florida. I was teaching a whole bunch of doctors. And I told them that if they can never get a patient out of pain that walks into their office ever, unless they figure out how to break that sugar craving cycle.
No, take a look at alcoholism. What happens when somebody gets off of alcohol? They usually get a sugar addiction.
It's true.
On top of that. So they get they're still caught in that same web. And it's probably easy for them to jump back into alcohol again.
You know, alcohol, sugar, opioids, heroin, cocaine, all of these things are tied into the same group of, oh, my God, situations for the body. The problem is that it does spur on cancers and tumors and degenerative disease and pain patterns, inflammatory reactions, autoimmune suppression. And, I mean, the list really, truly goes on and on and on. But it triggers, we see more of it in Western society than we do any place else on the planet. Why is that? Because, as you said earlier, somewhere between 150 to 170 pounds of sugar is consumed on an annual basis per person in this country. That's crazy. We're coming up to a break. My guest in studio, Dr. Scott Lamp, your host, your presenter at the Rozelle Center for Healing. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We're in studio, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. That's how you find us here. My guest today, Dr. Scott Lamp, your host, your presenter, this Wednesday evening at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax. Dr. Scott will be presenting an interesting and addictive conversation.
Topic, yes.
It's on sugar addiction and why you can't get off it, but more importantly, why your sugar cravings and your sugar addiction and your unwillingness or inability, your can't, if you will, to get away from this stuff is causing you tremendous amount of immunological suppression reactions that ultimately are going to result in you're getting sick, increasing your risk of certain disease processes, including cardiovascular plaquing, and you know, pain patterns, inflammatory reactions in the joint spaces that never stop, headaches, migraines, things of that nature. I mean, we're talking about something that can be at the core of so many things, Scott.
It affects everything. And I think when you take a look at things like cancer, we were talking about before, cancer cells themselves have more receptor sites for sugar than any other cell that's produced in the body. And so it's kind of like the cancer cell wants to grow. It's like a screaming baby. I want to get fed. And it's going to look for sugar, and it's going to drive that system to try to feed itself.
You know, the interesting thing, you know, I had mentioned earlier that I was in Florida last week, and I was teaching a group of about 85 doctors. The topic was the neurochemistry of chronic pain. And we were talking about a lot of things, including this. And the one thing, and you and I have talked about it, and the other docs in the office have talked about it, one of the things that I found was these two modulators. Choline is one of them. And importantly with choline is that when it's not working the way it's supposed to, then the body begins to break down. If you don't have enough choline in your system, muscle deterioration and waste takes place. It's very... It depends a lot on the eight essential amino acids. Yeah. And the reason...
It's a strong methylator.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And people don't have that ability to put it into action simply because they don't eat enough protein. That's where those eight essential amino acids come from, because you have to get it from outside sources. And so with choline, what is known is that sugar damages the transport, but also the formation of choline in the body. And it was a really interesting thing that I was presenting. And I asked these guys, you know, how many of you guys get this, right?
Right.
And the first article I read on this goes back about, probably 15 years ago in Scientific America. And I was talking about these cells within the spinal cord called the Renshaw cells. And the only reason I'm bringing that up is because it ties in to all the things that you're talking about and the addictive pathways. And there seems to be a neurological loop to the brain and so forth with all these chronic pain patterns. And, you know, how do we deal with anything that starts looking like we're outside the sugar threshold? Is that, oh, you're pre-diabetic, and we put you on metformin, or we put you on things that are much more serious than that. But that's the kind of thing that we have to deal with.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think some, even like, for example, in my opinion, some of the medications we have get ourselves in trouble. I mean, they do one thing. The one I always like to do is just give somebody more insulin. And the problem with more insulin is going to cause you more insulin resistance. It just kind of goes on and goes into a spiral, the negative feedback loop to itself.
You know, there's so many of our patients that come in, and they're on hosts of medications. It's ridiculous. There's so much that, you know, that they can't do simply because because of the process they're trying to control, but because of the meds that they're on.
Well, it's correct, but I think the thing is everybody thinks about when you think about diabetes or sugar control problems, you think about the pancreas, but there's some other organs that are big players here, and the liver is one. And some of the hormones that are created or broken down by the liver are very important in inflammatory ailments. And what are these one places where the medications hit? A nail. It hit the liver. So I'm trying to help myself, but I'm also hurting all the other organs that are supposed to be helping assist me in that process.
Right.
It's crazy. And I think the thing is we really got to back to diet and lifestyle control plays a big part on this.
888-630-9625. That's how you find us here. And how you register for Dr. Scott's presentation this Wednesday evening is simply go to rosellcare.com and register, or call the office at 703-698-7117. Let's go to the phones. Richard, thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Doctor, hi. Thank you for taking my call. And we've been listening to you for years, learning and listening.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you for your show. We are wondering if you have some strategies for taking chemo and staying healthy.
What type of cancer?
My wife had a brain tumor removed last week.
So did they get it all, or has it metastasized? Has it gone into parts of her body yet?
No, and they got it all, but it does appear to be a brain tumor, and they want to start chemo and radiation.
Okay. So we won't go into my opinions, but when it comes to how medicine handles those things, but I'll say this to you. One of the things that you have to do with any cancer patient is you have to get rid of all the sugar in the body, period, end of story, no matter where it comes from. You have to try to get the body to go as much alkaline as possible. We deal with, in our nutrition department, we deal with patients that are ongoing chemotherapeutics, and we support them relative to making sure that the body has all the nutrient bases that it needs. It has the adequate proteins, that will
proteins
not cause
important.
An inflammatory reaction. You've got to keep the amino acid levels very high so the body can repair itself. But you've got to make sure that system stays as alkaline as possible. And from the types of water that you're drinking, something as simple, for example, that people don't realize. Well, I drink water. I don't drink tap water. But they go out and they get a bottle of water. But the plastic itself
right.
will convert it into an acidic pattern, and then you have what's called an xenoestrogen type substance that leaks into the water, and that, by the way, is carcinogenic as well as deteriorating. So you're going to have to do things that, that shift that alkalinity as much as you possibly can.
And I think, Richard, another thing was we're talking about diet, but also the mental status. There have been a lot of things in regards to improving overall health. If you stress out, you're going to cause cortisol release, which ends up putting more sugar in the system. So doing things, and they've actually had some good outcomes, especially out of a couple of colleges out west. I think it's UCLA, if I could remember right. Norman Cousins had some information that strongly that's good about this, but you're looking at doing things where you're doing either Tai Chi, deep breathing exercises, things to settle the body down and not create a panic type situation in the body where it'll actually create the sugars. The sugars themselves will feed the feed the cancer and create that's a basic thing of stress causing and making the things worse. So you really got to look at, and I think our mantra where we have the three parts of our body, the structure, chemistry, motion, plays a big part.
Right.
You've got to be moving, but not put too much stress with the moving, but you've got to be just moving. You do the chemistry part of it, and also the mental part. It's extremely, extremely important.
You got to keep the inflammatory levels low with any type of cancer patient, period, but particularly when you're going through chemotherapeutics, which is very inflammatory in its application. So dietary patterns are consistent, pray or meditation or yoga and things like that, gentle things. You can even do them in chairs. I mean, you just have to have somebody instruct you and show you how to do it.
Yeah, this is what Tom just talked about, is like a gene expression actually can change if you do these things. And the gene expression will actually help fight against what you're dealing with. And in fact, the recovery times for people with breast cancer after they've done, they found they've had less pain, slept better, recoveries were better if they did the Tai Chi, the yogas, those things, deep breathing exercises, meditations, those seem to like better. They have better outcomes than without doing those.
And many of the folks in the medical communities today are even stepping up and using CBD oil, the cannabis oils, and they're not addictive, they're not hallucinogenic. It's the property that actually helps the body in a lot of different ways. But that's a subject we can talk about for a long time. But Richard, what I would suggest to you, if we can be of help to you, give our office a call, make an appointment with either Sue or Eva or Mary Jane in our nutrition department. But the way that we approach this type of condition is through nutrition, supportive. We do we'll refer into the acupuncture department, sometimes detoxification, depending on how bad the chemotherapeutic and the radiation is. But there's a lot that can be done to help your wife. If I was in your position, that's where I would start. And we can give you a lot more based on what we know and what we find out about her. Appreciate your phone call. 888-630-9625. My guest in studio, Dr. Scott Lamp. We're talking about sugar addiction. And, you know, let's talk about that for just a second. The pain that people go through when it comes to cancers, the rapid metastasis. Mm-hmm. There's so much literature that's out there that points the finger at sugar problems, right? And going back to what you were talking about earlier on, the Weston Price Foundation mm-hmm. has a huge amount of data when it comes to that type of correlation. So we're talking about something that is a known culprit. Why do they use it? You know, why do we see so many? You know, one can of soda has something like 8 to 12, depending on the company, teaspoons of right. sugar in it. A hamburger roll has sugar in it. I mean, you can start taking these foods apart and you say, my God, that's why people are so addictive and we are so fat anymore. I mean, people are walking around just huge. It wasn't like that back in the day, as my son would say.
Yeah, I think there's been, and I think a lot of it changed. I remember in the 80s when they were talking about it, a lot of times, like a lot of the problem was fat. Fat was the big problem. You know, you got to get a low fat diet, high carb diet. And there's a lot of reasons for that, basically, but I mean, totally. Mixed it's actually totally wrong. It was actually totally
backwards.
Switched around.
That's
and
right.
So a lot of the push was for let's bring the carbs up and have and then of course the industry blew up from that. And then what happens is the industry wants to maintain their foothold. They're going to continue doing something. It's really interesting to look at Coca-Cola, for example. They have a 12-ounce can. Now they have these like 8-ounce cans. And so it's like it's not as bad. Let's just take a little bit less of it.
That's all.
It's starting to catch up to us, but we'll just give you less. Or I just saw an Oreo cookie and they're thinner.
888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. You know, I have a theory about something that happened this year, right? The Redskins got their physical butt handed to them. There are a lot of guys on IR. They had the most in the NFL. Well, because we treat a lot of these guys, they have a little insight to where that may be coming from. Just my hallucination, my okay. mental craziness. So I found out, because of the guys that we've taken care of, that their training table is not too bad.
Right.
And, the night before the game and, they feed them pretty well. But what they do afterwards is that they leave a banquet spread out for these guys with sodas and deli meats and shakes and ice cream and so anything that they want. This is the night before the game. So you watch these guys the next morning, they come out, they're ready to go in the first quarter, and then all of a sudden they drop, like
they
somebody
tank.
Pulled their plug at the middle of the second quarter, and then sometimes they come back at the middle of the end of the third quarter, and it's like, when you have this stuff in your body, you're gonna break down. You're gonna get hurt much more easily. It's gonna affect your fight-flight system, your adrenal system. It's gonna put tremendous amount of pressure on your insulin reserves that has to transport the blood sugar to get into your tissues, because now, It's not working. It's like you're beating it up. Anyway, that's my hallucination, but I think that may be part of what we're seeing.
Well, maybe we can cook for them.
It would be nice. You know, maybe I can get Sue. Never mind. Sue will hang me. I can't do that.
We had a conversation about that. I don't think that would work.
No. 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you this Wednesday evening. Dr. Scott Lamp will be your host, your presenter at the Results Center for Healing. He's going to be talking about sugar, sugar addiction, why you can't get rid of it, why there's a problem. And, you know, everybody's telling you that it's not a bad thing. But when you start realizing it depletes the body and upsets so many interconnected pathways within the system. You know, we talked a little bit about chromium. We talked a little bit about zinc. That zinc piece. You know, when a patient comes in our office, one of the first things that we do is we do a zinc teletest. We want to see if they have enough zinc in their body, because zinc, without zinc, you can't heal neurologically, you can't heal tissue, you can't keep your immune system, you know, up and fighting. It's critical. So what does sugar do? Drops the zinc level.
Yeah, and then zinc is important in trying to make, I believe it's actually in the process of trying to make insulin in the first place. So it's a very, very important part. And on top of that, even in our foods, we maybe a side part here is when we fertilize, zinc's not in the fertilizer. You know, it's hard to get.
That's right.
And when you're trying to get zinc now, it's, you know, you take a look at, well, you can get into maybe like make clams and things, those kind of things. But they're usually they're bivalves. They have problems with eating a lot of the junk off the bottom of the ocean floors.
It's supposed to come from seeds and nuts and
pumpkin seeds.
And pumpkin seeds. Lots of it in there.
But if we don't put in the fertilizer, even the pumpkin is going to have to pull it from the ground somewhere. It doesn't it doesn't miraculously show up in the pumpkin seed without it pulling it from the ground.
You know, when you have higher levels of sugar in the body, you're going to create a platform, if you will, of all those things that your body shouldn't have, because now you're going to want more of it. You're going to want more carbohydrates and starches. You know, if you eat enough protein, if you eat enough vegetables, and you do it on a regular basis, you keep your blood sugars under control, you start using things like a vitamin B complex, adding a little bit more zinc, low dosages of chromium, the cravings begin to go away. And it can be done slowly over a period of time. There's no magic platform, but it can get done.
Yeah, I think also you throw in some like magnesium, potassium in there too. Those are some things that are going to be also deficient. They're usually associated with these. And slowly bringing those back in. Give what the body needs, it's satisfied. And I think that's really when it comes down. Give the body what it needs, it satisfies. I think another thing we didn't really talk too much is sometimes how much fat can play a little bit part. Quality fat, not trans fats, not those kind of things, but quality fats. And what happens, it's a long burn. It keeps your body maintaining the energy levels a little bit better, and it doesn't fluctuate the insulin levels as strong.
You know, people, and when it comes to fat, here's the other piece that people have to be aware of. You know, we're talking about good things like avocado oil and coconut oil and olive
MCT,
oil,
yep.
You know, things of that nature, not the other garbage that's out there, not corn oil, God forbid.
Not McDonald's.
but we're talking about stuff that actually can sustain and nourish you and support your body's immunological reactions and create these pathways so that they're solid. Oil is important in so many different situations, and if you have the right oils, you actually dampen your craving for this kind of stuff.
Well, look at when you talk about dried oils. Where in the world do we have the best, at least the best diet versus diabetic and heart conditions?
The least?
Yeah.
In Sicily.
Okay. It's all about time. The Mediterranean diet. You take a look at that. And what's a big thing that's part of that?
It's olive oil.
Olive oils.
Yep. And coconut oil, because we have palm trees in Sicily, believe it or not, right?
Yep.
We have all those good things there. We're coming up to that time of the show that we have to take a little bit of a break. But I want you to know that Dr. Scott Lamp will be your host, your presenter, this Wednesday evening, the 6th, at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax. Sugar addiction is the topic. Love to have you there. Go to RozelleCare.com and register right now. Get it done during the break. We'll be right back after some important messages.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live, as you do every Sunday at the high noon hour on the Eastern Seaboard. Those of you who are in different parts of the country, you know the drill. Figure the math out, and we thank you very much for doing that. And again, So many of our armed service people call us and get in touch with us and send us emails, and it is still beyond me how you find the radio program. But you know what? Thank you so very much, and hopefully we can serve you as you serve us. 888-630-9625, that's the number here, and how you register for Dr. Scott Lamp's program, my guest today at the Dr. Tom Roselle Live, is simply by going to RoselleCare.com. That's RoselleCare.com, RoselleCare.com, and register, and just scroll down and hit the button and do it, and we will confirm. Just remember that many of you have been to the office, and we get overbooked for these things, so just can't just walk in. You got to let us know so we know that you're coming, so we can prepare for you and give you as much information as we possibly can. RoselleCare.com. You know, Dr. Scott, we talked a little bit about that roller coaster effect just at the break, what happens with sugar.
Right.
And talk a little bit about that. You know, there's many books that have been written. One many years ago in the late 60s, it was called Sugar Blues.
Right.
And it's talked about how the emotional set point goes up and down, up and down, up and down, and actually going into deep depressions with sugar. But all kinds of other things as well. And we talked about sleep patterns. And kind of let's talk about that and segue into what you're going to be doing this Wednesday evening.
Well, and exactly what that is how do we control a roller coaster? Because when the roller coaster goes extremes, we're talking about a roller coaster where you have a lot of sugar in the system. There's something called insulin that grabs it. We'll define what that is a little bit more about what it does. It actually brings the body, it brings the sugar back into the cell, but then all of a sudden it goes past where the normal operating ability of the body is, and it gets down into almost to a point of depletion, and the body's now craving. So you go up high, you get an insulin surge, the insulin puts it into the cell, but all of a sudden the body feels it's not enough sugar, the sugar levels drop in the body too much, and you come back up, and there's constant cravings and things. We're going to talk about how you blunt that. How do you got to keep that, kind of make it more of a steady type flow so it's not extremes? And that's what we're talking about, these things that happen. They're extremes that create a lot of the craving problems that we have. Or why do we feel so fatigued, or and the up and downs? And we'll hit a little bit about also some weight control, because that plays a big, big, big part with some of these things. And so that's how we're going to work on. We're going to talk about certain simple solutions and some long-range solutions that we can help you with.
You know, you touched upon it a little earlier in the program, and you were talking about somebody who, in fact, you know, has switched from real sodas with sugars in them and so forth to artificial, you know, the, you know, no sugar in it type of thing. And so the point of it is, with that conversation, was that if you are trying to lose weight, you cannot have anything in your mouth that tastes like sugar,
right.
Period, end of story. Why? Because your body says, I got sugar coming in,
right.
And it's going to use that source of sugar first, so it keeps all the other fat stored. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, you're tricking it. And
right.
So now you're depleting all those things that need to mobilize fats, and you can't do it anymore.
Yeah, and you're nutritionally being mugged. The basic is something I call psyche, S-I-K-E. And one is going to be, what do you have to do for substitute? And substitute means the S, substitute the sugar. What do you need to do to substitute? And like food additives are not the substitution part of that. A little bit I, it's going to be a little talk about a little bit of intermittent fasting. If that really works, it doesn't work for everybody. It's not necessarily a great panacea, but it can be beneficial for some people. The other one is how much fats work in the keto elements, and then also what's an important element about exercise.
You know, what people have to remember about intermittent fasting, because that's the question that's a hot topic today, is that they have to eat their normal caloric intake during the period of time that they're actually eating. And it's just resting the body so the body can begin to metabolize that fat stores to use its energy at that point. Mm-hmm. But if you don't get the regular caloric amount outside of that time, what happens is your body thinks it's starving. And when it's doing that, it drops its metabolism down. And so subsequently, it's a lost gainer. So if you think you're going to do intermittent fasting and drop calories, not going to happen. You've got to make sure that you do both. That during the time frames that you're eating, you eat as much as you normally would. The right things, obviously,
right.
And then you give yourself the opportunity to trigger that fat release and be able to shuttle into glucose. Anyway, coming up to that part of the program this Wednesday evening, Dr. Scott Lamp will be your host, your presenter at the Roselle Center in Fairfax. Join us and just give us a call and make that happen. Coming up to the end of the program, we love you all. Bye.